You're listening to episode 200 of Women Worldwide. That's right. It's our 200th show. And for this episode, the tables are turned and I'm in the hot seat. My coach, Dolores Hirschman, interviews me to share who I am, what I do, and what she calls getting under the script of Deirdre. So stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for helping to grow the Women Worldwide Network. And I'm so excited about today's episode because it marks our 200th show. So time has flown by and we're proud to be growing and we just want to thank you for that. So we're going to dive into this special anniversary edition, but we're going to do it a little bit differently today. I've actually asked my business coach, Dolores Hirschman, who knows me very well, who has been working with me, to be the host of the show. And for change, I'm going to be in the hot seat and she's going to interview me. And just a little bit about Dolores. She is a speaker. She's an executive business coach and she's the founder and chief clarity officer at Masters in Clarity. So I'm going to turn the show over to Dolores and she's going to take it from here. Hi, Dolores.
Hi, Deirdre. You can't see me, but I'm like rubbing my hands together. I'm so excited.
Well, I feel the same way. So I'm ready to dive in. It's going to be different.
So as Deirdre said, I'm so excited to play this role of hosting her in her own show, right? You know, Women Worldwide has been a really successful podcast. And today we get to see the woman behind this amazing network. So we know that you are, you know, we kind of know what you do. We know that you are, you know, a very big LinkedIn learning teacher there and that you have written multiple books. You are that, you know, voice of reason behind a lot of brands and helping them, you know, articulate and communicate in a cohesive and empowering way. But I would like to dig deeper. Do we actually know the core of what you do? And I want to learn more about the mystery behind this magical woman. So what do you actually do, Deirdre?
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling me a magical woman. I guess you could say I'm in the business of storytelling and relationship building. So I've been helping business executives and businesses find their voice, kind of elevate their brands and to be seen and be heard, but most of all, be recognized. And, you know, I've always focused, and this is the PR background in me, on building relationships around your passion. And I think that I'm actually happiest when I'm working with professionals who just love to amplify their purpose because it's what they love to do. But it all starts with finding your voice. So that's what I do, whether I was working in the agency world. I owned an agency for, you know, probably about 14 years. Now I have my communications consulting practice, finding those voices, raising them up, creating impact and a difference. That's my passion.
And I love that. And I think, you know, for many, you know, the part of clarifying the voice or finding your voice for many companies and for many executives is kind of an afterthought. So tell me, why is it so important? Why do companies and executives need to put this as a priority to take care of their brand voice and their messages.
Yes. So taking care of the brand voice and the messaging should never be an afterthought, because it's what helps to position you. It's how you're actually creating authority and credibility, and it's building your reputation. So that's a big word right there, mm-hmm. your reputation, who you are, what you stand for, what you value. You never want to take that for granted. And we know, Dolores, how quickly you can be a media darling one day and you can have your whole world and a damaged brand, and your bottom line can crumble within minutes because of social media. So it's really important to take care of the brand, the brand voice, and your messages.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, to add here, we talked, in our private conversation, we've talked a lot about authenticity. And people say, okay, if it's so authentic, it doesn't need any design. But when you're against professionals who are trained to kind of, we would call it for what it is in this world, some of the interviews you're going to go for, they're trained to go digging for some dirt because of what sells. And so how do you manage, that staying in an authentic voice that is also very clear and precise, and that can be brought through even when the interview can be challenging?
So that's a really good question. Diving into the authentic voice and still maintaining who you are and what you're about. But I think there's something to be said that you have to know that nobody is perfect. And even today, we recognize executives and companies make mistakes. And when you get into challenging situations, it's staying with your values and upholding your integrity, right? It's not going down some path where you're casting blame or not taking accountability. So that's all really important. And also understanding that maybe you don't have all of the answers. I do a lot of media training with executives, and it's okay. There's going to be times when you might not have the answer. Yes, you might bridge back to a different message, or you might just say, we'll be able to get that information to you as we learn or as things unfold, because we don't have all the answers. So that's staying authentic and not putting yourself in a position where you're just making it worse, your own situation as well as for your company.
Yeah. And I love that you're that fairy godmother for many people, right? Because, you need guidance. So that's awesome. So let me ask you this. I know you work a lot with corporations, and then Women Worldwide, it's been kind of this baby of yours for the last 2 years, 2.5 years. How long have we been doing these interviews?
So we actually started in December of 2014.
Okay, so it's been almost 4 years overall.
Yeah.
So how does the work that you do with corporations open up to the Women Worldwide Network?
That's a fantastic question. I'm so glad you asked me this, because I've been thinking a lot about it. And, whether you're working with corporations, a business, executives, a lot of what I do, of course, is to help them think, right? It's think about your communication, your brand, but think is a model where any way that you reach your audience through different channels, the T in think is for timing. You always have to have a heart and an understanding of what people need from you. You want to be independent, the way that you approach them, or unique. You're going to use new navigation because of all of the social media and new technologies. But also the K is deep knowledge. And these are things that we naturally do in business. Now enter, Women Worldwide is this network of women, and also I interview men, who are so passionate about creating a difference and finding their purpose, or they're sharing these incredible stories about what they do. But it's shifting more, what I feel like, into a feel model as well. So of course you're going to think, because that's really important to the way you position and get your communication out. But feel is much more thinking about the F in feel is fear. What do you fear? And what are others fearing? You know, right? Getting below the surface to what's really going on. And the first E is empathy. Are you truly empathetic, walking in someone else's shoes before you share? You know, the second E is ethics. Are you ethical in your approach? Are you true to your own ethics? And the last, the L, is love. Do you love the mission? Do you love it so much that people naturally want to follow you? And bridging the gap between think and feel, I really think that it's with the diversity and kind of this richness of perspective. And this is so important. So whether you're in a corporation or you're in the Women Worldwide Network, bringing those two models together is extremely important, because today, look at this landscape of the way we're bombarded with messages. Look at the anxiety, the anger, the polarization, taking opposite sides. If we could bring think and feel together, Dolores, think of how much impact and how much more we could make a difference, no matter where you are, corporation or Women Worldwide Network.
Yeah, and I just want to make sure that all the listeners understand that this think and feel models, the think is a model that you've developed, that you've been working with for years, and that the feel model is also a model that you have developed that has come through your work with Women Worldwide, and now you're bringing them together for both. I just want to make sure that that's clear.
Yes.
You know, back to authenticity, because I think what I'm hearing, Deirdre, is that we kind of touched on authenticity before, and I want to bring it back, because it sounds like these think and feel models are kind of frameworks for giving the people you work with, right, corporations and executives, giving them frameworks to play with their authentic voice within those frameworks. It's kind of, you know, it's almost like freedom is better. You can feel more free when you have a certain set of kind of boundaries. It's counterintuitive, but, you know, a sandbox will hold the sand, and then we can play in it. And so the framework of think and feel will say, okay, take these as kind of guidelines or signs in the road, but then play with your authentic voice within those frameworks. So how do you work those in to help executives, you know, lean into their authentic voice?
So I think, especially in the corporation, it starts with your employees. Mm. And feel has to be, you have to be the role model for feel. So you can't just, there is no just saying, I feel. I embrace this model, and therefore we want everybody else to embrace it. It's showing it. And that's what really makes the difference. And I think that, you know, it comes to leadership. There are some leaders who very much can balance out the strength in their communication and style with which the emotional quotient, right? We talk a lot about EQ. So that feel model is getting in touch with EQ, but being able to do it on such a level that you're not just saying, you're actually showing. And what does that look like? Does that look like giving people credit where credit is due? Absolutely. Does that look like not always having the correct answer or being the smartest person in the room? Absolutely. When you can start opening up your own frame of reference and different perspectives, that's when you start to really feel and take advantage of that richness and the diversity that I mentioned before. So it is modeling, but be able to embrace that behavior yourself so you can model it for others and exercises perhaps to get there.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. So you went right to the details, right? Of like, how, what does it look like? I love that because at the end of the day, if we can't bring it to our day-to-day lives, then it's just another layer of information. So let me share with us, how does it really look like by sharing a recent project or client that kind of validates the path of the work that you are doing?
So I'm glad you asked this. It's not exactly recent. It was back in 2014, but it is a favorite example. And because we go on stage together and we talk about the example, I want to bring it up. So Richard Bistrong is a colleague, friend, former client that I worked with. I actually met Richard when he came out of prison. He had read my books when he was incarcerated. He ended up going to prison because he violated anti-bribery and FCPA, Foreign Corruption Practice Act laws. And when it came time to sentencing, even though the prosecutor said Richard shouldn't go to prison, the judge basically said, you can't steal big, lie big, cheat big, and not serve time. So Richard, he was also a cooperator for 5 years for the FBI. He was a cooperator in the United Kingdom for 5 years. And during this time and his incarceration, he realized that he wanted to do the right thing and rebuild his image. And he reached out to me. And I think that this was an example for me of stepping out of my comfort zone, really believing and feeling that I wanted to help him because he wanted to do the right thing and change his trajectory and use what he had learned to help others in business, to be the an ethical voice around sales and compliance, speaking from experience of what not to do. And I worked with him very closely on themes and messaging and the media when he got out of prison, because there was a lot of media that had painted him in a very poor light when he, you know, first was sentenced and during his incarceration. And it was time to share how he was going to move forward in a different way. And he worked tirelessly. And we did rebuild his brand through social media and the content that he created as a blogger in the area of FCPA. And today, I'm happy to say that when Richard and I, when we share his story, he went from prison card to MasterCard. He's doing a training series with MasterCard for, you know, that big corporations can license to help them around compliance. He's one of the top minds, you know, named by different bodies in ethics and compliance. So that is quite a story, but it was stepping out of my comfort zone and truly believing and feeling and wanting to create an impact with him.
And I love that you share this story. It's fascinating. But as of course, he had this moment of deciding to serve with his pain, if you want, with his experience. And he had the courage to do that. But I love that you're talking about how you stepped out of your comfort zone from maybe, you know, very straightforward clientele until that point with very straightforward process to saying yes to helping someone rebuild from not even from scratch. We're not talking from scratch, from minus. Right, from a minus score. Yeah. And that takes courage as a professional, because, you know, who we work with and who we associate with also has an impact, right?
Absolutely.
But I also can hear in your voice, the way you talk about that story, that it was a way for you to test yourself and say, hey, am I this good? Can I really do this? Can I help, you know? That's why I called you Magical Woman. But could I help create this magical new story and as we say, the importance of the voice, because that has created and enabled a new pathway for him, but also he's serving at a higher level.
Yeah. And it was, it's really interesting because sometimes you don't actually know the steps forward, but you trust your gut enough to say that it's going to happen and you're going to create a difference. And for me, there was a lot of resistance. So making that decision, it wasn't like I had folks in my inner circle who were cheering me on, saying, "Yeah, you should help Richard." And of course, they're well-meaning professionals, and I love them all. But I basically got, why would you align your brand? How is that going to help you? Does this make sense for you? And at the end of the day, I looked at myself, my authentic self, and I trusted my gut. And I said, this is something that I really want to do. And I did. And I'm really glad, grateful that I did. I learned a lot about myself, about Richard, and it felt good.
So I'm going to extract from that the lesson for your audience is that how do they get out of the comfort zone? And you just said it is, trust your gut. If you have an inclination to do something, even though your logical mind or your circle says why, if it feels strong that you must do it, then go for it, even if it feels scary. So thank you. Thank you for that. So here's what I want to invite you to do right now. I want to take a quick break. We have great people that support this program, and I want to send some love to our sponsor, Pure Performance. So if that's okay with you, let's just take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Yesterday's techniques won't work. Today, you have an opportunity to expand your communications approach with fresh, creative, and effective ways to power up your brand voice through new channels and to interact with more value and meaning. Pure Performance Communications will work with you to move audiences from awareness to action and impact. You'll foster greater engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Let us help you uncover what's holding you back and help you to carve out a marketing PR roadmap to success. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com. Now back to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge.
And we're back. And yes, you have a different voice welcoming you back from break. My name is Dolores Hirschman. I'm the Chief Clarity Officer of Masters in Clarity. And I am playing hostess today. I am interviewing your regular host, Deirdre Breckenridge, and we are having her in the hot seat. So it's kind of been an interesting experience, I think, for her. She'll tell us more about it, but it's been an honor for me to pick on this wonderful woman's brain. So Deirdre, welcome back.
Dolores, thank you so much. It feels really good to be in the hot seat. Liberating, but at the same time, it's just so different. But I couldn't think of a better person to interview me for my 200th episode. So I know the Women Worldwide Network has met you before because you were on the show, and now they can even get to know you more through interviewing me. It's awesome. So thank you.
Yeah, very welcome. I'm having a lot of fun. So let's just get personal. Are you ready?
I guess I do this with other people, so I have to take my medicine.
So I wanted to take you back in time, and I think if you're listening, go back in your time. Think about when you were 10 or 12. How would you have finished this sentence? When I grow up, I want to be dot, dot, dot.
10 or 12. That was a really long time ago. I would finish that sentence by saying, when I grow up, I would want to be a veterinarian. Because at age 10 or 12, that's actually what I wanted to do.
But let me ask you this. What kind of woman did you want to be? And what kind of life did you imagine you would have?
So after I got through my veterinarian stage, because I was working at a barn for years, I was riding and I was a volunteer, I naturally, I guess, just realized, I didn't know it was happening, because when you grow up, there's all sorts of experiences that you have. But my parents were a big influence on me. And when I saw my mother, who started out as a teacher, and later on, you know, she was also an author, she became an educational consultant. My dad also started out as a teacher. He was then principal of almost every school that I went to, although I prayed that he was not my principal when I went to high school. And sure enough, he became superintendent, right? He became superintendent of the school system. But his office was not in my building, thankfully. But I guess I wanted to be an educator. I watched my parents, and some way, shape, or form, I must have internalized this, because I did want to be an educator. I wanted to help people. I wanted to be involved in learning. Although somewhere along the line, in high school, it actually turned into communication and public relations. But if I really think about it, Dolores, finishing that sentence and then looking at what type of woman I want to be, I am an educator. I became an educator. I'm actually, I teach on the university level, but also I spend a lot of time mentoring on social media. And when I write my books, I'm educating. And as a LinkedIn Learning instructor, I'm educating. So boy, did that sink in.
Yeah, that stayed with you. It's just you made it in your own version. And so let me ask you this, because I think that you come up with this a lot, and we kind of want to hear this too from you. We know that people of power or influential people, especially women of influence, we try to be like on point and sometimes a little scripted in our interviews. What's below your script?
Boy, well, there's a lot below the script. And I train people, right, to be on point. But beneath the script right now is this awakening. And that's the only way that I can describe it. Went through a recent tragedy, family tragedy, with the death of our daughter, my stepdaughter, Noelle. She was 24 years old, and it's something very difficult to process. So this below the script feeling that I have right now is turning into being very present and making sure, not that I ever took anything for granted, but no matter what you're doing or where you are, and especially I'm going to throw it out there to all you women worldwide listeners who have extremely busy schedules and hectic days, and there's things that you do with family that we say, cherish the moment. I can't tell you how much more you need to cherish the moment. I never thought I could cherish a moment more. And now I'm just really embracing everything. And, so below the script is certainly, there is sadness. I would, be doing a disservice to myself if I didn't say how very, very sad we all are. But it's also a realization and an importance, and to live every moment. And it's what you do moving forward, and also just how grateful I am to friends and family and colleagues who continue to support and lift us up. So I think that's what's below the script. It's really interesting because, if you didn't know that that's what happened to us, that Noelle passed away, you would have seen me a week after she died. I was doing a broadcast with West Digital. Mm-hmm. And, I was out there. We were talking about sort of owned media and where that falls into the whole peso model. But below the script, There was a lot going on. So you're right. You don't always know what's going on in somebody's world.
Yeah. And I love that. I think this is a perfect, you know, leeway to the next question I want to ask you, but it's concept of giving yourself permission. And I think for the listeners to also give themselves permission to honor what's below their script. And for that, I think, you know, having that below the script and continue to function like you did, you know, a week later, you did what you had to do and you did it professionally and very well. But that takes a level of resilience that I can only assume it comes from some discipline of self-care. So how do you take care of yourself? How do you refuel, recenter, you know, have that space to anchor so that you can be that loving spouse or the loving mother or the loving friend for the family that is your family that is grieving, while at the same time be that professional, strong, powerful woman for the executive that is your client?
So, well, thank you. The self-care is crucial. But even before I got to the self-care, I think it was a realization that through my training as a communications professional of 30 years now, I can run on autopilot if I let myself. There is something about the ability to kick into a mode to handle issues and crisis and to be the calming voice and to get the job done and to know when and why and how to communicate. But that is a recipe. For all you folks out there who are thinking, yeah, I could be on autopilot too. I'm programmed.
Move forward, right?
Right. It's not healthy. It's you're setting yourself up for complete burnout. So then enter the self-care and the refueling and the balancing so that you're able to do what you know, your God-given talent, but at the same time, I really carve out time for myself every single day. And, you know, a very dear friend and colleague recommended the Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. And I read the book and it gives you a program, Savers. So it's, you know, every day you should be doing your silence, your meditation. The A is affirmations. The V is visualization. The E is exercise. The R is reading. And the S is scribing or writing. And the author says you could do that in 6 minutes, really, if you wanted to. If you were that hectic in your schedule, take 1 minute for each of those. Or you could blow it out for however long you need to. You could split it up if you had to at different times of the day. But every morning I do the program, usually from 30 minutes to an hour. And I'll get up earlier if I have to get it done, because that's where I'm refocused, I'm centered. And meditation helps you to handle different challenges and to bring yourself back to your center. So meditation especially has helped.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. So Miracle Morning is your recipe. And I love that, you know, you can do it in 6 minutes, but you choose to give yourself a little bit more time.
Yeah, I love it.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot of, you know, this tip to especially women, because we have this idea that if we're going to succeed, we have to do it all and we have to do it perfect, right? But let's talk about women. And what advice would you give to other women and professionals who are looking to find their voice and amplify their passion?
So I think you have to be, well, first of all, you have to know what is your passion. What do you absolutely love? And Dolores, I'm sorry, but I have to flip it to you now. So this is something, what is that one thing that you ask of all your coaching clients? I mean, you said it on the show and I want to repeat it about if you could do something all the time.
And tell you a quick story on this. So what I've asked myself all my life, whenever I found myself stuck or bored, because our professional careers develop, you know, your passion develops as well. And so I would ask myself, what would I do for free all day long without getting tired? And I'll tell you a quick story that literally happened this week on Monday. So on Monday, I was talking with a client of mine, and he's getting ready for becoming, his book is coming out. He has a big career. And he was telling me the story of how he became a doctor. And he said, well, I was in college and my grandfather had a sudden heart attack and he had been in a checkup, you know, recently and he had been fine. And then all of a sudden, and so I flew in and he was in a coma and I went to say my goodbyes and he woke up from the coma and said, hey, how are you doing? And how's school? Because he was a freshman at college. And the grandfather said to him, have you figured out what you're going to do yet? And this kid, now my client, many years later, said, no, I'm not sure yet. And the grandfather said, well, find something you would do for free all day long. Literally, I was told this story. And the grandfather literally died like 2 hours after that. He flipped back into a coma and then died. And gave me chills when he told me this story, because it's what I talk about. And I'm not the only one, of course. Thank God I'm not the only one. But it's this concept that we are born to do, that we are, that we love doing, is where we should make the most of our money. Because one, it will be authentic and genuine. Two, we'll always strive for doing our best work. And three, the love and passion that we have for it is magnetic and it's contagious.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think for women and men out there, you have to go through certain experiences, trials and tribulations. Who's to say that, you know, yes, there are some folks who find their path early on and they stick with it. But it's okay if you go down one path, right, Dolores? And you maybe take a turn and do something completely different. That's how the side hustle is born.
Yeah, that's a side hustle. And here's a metaphor that I think could be very helpful to your listeners, Deirdre, and is that we are not afraid to drive in a highway at 60 or sometimes 70 or 80 miles per hour at night with just our headlights to guide us. And it's only a few feet. Right. We trust that there's a road and we plow forward. So taking action and following the path of your passion that is being shown to you right now, it's all you need to do. Because it builds on each other. I mean, I know you have big dreams for you. I know I have big dreams for what I'm going to do. And I don't know when and how it's going to happen. I just know that today I'm shown this opportunity of interviewing you. And you are shown this opportunity of leading women worldwide. And we'll see where it takes you. We'll see where it takes me.
And that's the beauty of it. There's almost, there's something so special about what's around the corner for women worldwide. And I'm a firm believer, Dolores, that, you know, what you think about, what you absorb, the energy you surround yourself with, what you take in subconsciously, that's what's going to play out. That's what's going to manifest. And I just feel, you know, women worldwide, sure, today, the 200th episode with you, you know what, there's going to be 200 more and then some. And so many great ways that a podcast turns into a network that does powerful things together.
Oh, I'm going to challenge you. Can I challenge you?
Sure. I live for that.
I want you, and I'm just planting a seed, to envision a Women Worldwide reunion.
Oh, in person.
In person.
I would love that. There are so many women and men who have been
through 199, because I've been twice, but there's 199 different women and men that you have touched in the last few years. So let's have a party, Deirdre.
We need to celebrate. They are, and I see it, Dolores, they're in touch with me. They're connected to each other beyond me. And I've always said, I want to be a chief relationship agent where whoever I connect goes so far beyond me and it's about what they do together. That makes me feel really good. And I'm seeing this happen. And I think that there's hundreds of more ways to have these folks connect and do things together and having that reunion. Oh my goodness, you did just plant a seed.
By the way, do we have a Women Worldwide LinkedIn group?
Nope, we do not.
Oh, that's another seed.
And you know I love LinkedIn. I am just a LinkedIn, I'm on LinkedIn, but yeah. Being a LinkedIn learning instructor, it would be very logical and would make me really happy.
Yeah, to further this conversation. So that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Speaking of, maybe we will have a Women Worldwide LinkedIn coming up. I don't know. But in the meantime, let me ask you two questions. Question number one, you've written many books, like six of them. If someone has never read any of your books, which one they should pick up first?
Okay, so I would say start with PR 2.0, which gives the kind of foundations of where public relations was heading, bridging a gap over to digital and social media. Even though it's an older book, it still has some really good foundational principles in it. And then you can go into putting the public back in public relations, then the social media and public relations 8 practices. And then, of course, my last book, which is all Q&A, Q&A format around important topics and questions I've been asked, Answers for Modern Communicators. So I think that would be the way to go.
Awesome. Awesome. Maybe it's my winter read. And where can people find you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first off, they can find me on, we'll start with social media. Please follow me on Twitter. I'm at Dee Breckenridge. Ask me questions. I have a group Twitter chat. It's PR Stud Chats. That is short for students. So if you are interested, and it's all educators, professionals, and students, but if you're interested in social media, public relations, marketing, that's a great monthly Twitter chat. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm always there and I'm always chatting with folks. And email me, please. I'm Deirdre at pureperformancecom with 2ms.com.
Pureperformance.com.
Yeah. Oh, and don't forget to check out my author's blog too, DeirdreBreckenridge.com. Yeah. And DeirdreBreckenridge.com is my author's blog.
Perfect. Well, what can we say? We are wrapping up the Women Worldwide 200th episode, and you have a hostess with an accent. So I'm actually going to give the microphone back to your original and loving hostess, Deirdre. And I just want to say thank you for allowing me to play with you.
Dolores, thank you so much for being the host today. You were fantastic. I love your accent. It's charming. And for planting seeds and and drawing out information that, some of it was a little tough to share, but that's good. As I said, very liberating. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in every week, for sharing on social media the incredible stories of the professionals who come on the show. You are helping to create impact and to make a difference. It's because of you that we've reached our 200th episode. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And here's to 200 plus more. So until our next show, everybody, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
Thank you.